I'm just checking out from my hotel in Geneva, and we're gonna head back to Zurich. From Geneva back to Zurich. Robert and I gave a talk yesterday at FinTech Fusion about Dfinity, and we have about an hour left on our journey. We're here on the train, and I'll use that to pick Robert's brain a bit on various crypto topics. One of them being, what is exactly proof of stake and why is it hard to do, and what is the innovation that Dfinity made in regards to proof of stake? Let's see if I can find something where Robert doesn't feel 100% comfortable. In very simple terms, what is proof of stake and why is it hard?
Proof of stake basically means that your power in the consensus algorithm is proportional to your stake that you own. In various systems, you have to deposit stake and you get an ID in return for your stake. The stake gets locked in like for 4 months, and then you get the right to participate in the consensus mechanism. And why it's harder than proof of work is related to the fact that proof of work is not only just like a simple way to protect against Sybil attacks. So it's not just a way to give you an amount of power in proportion to your stake, but it's also a means of making it hard to create forks or to create a new block on top of old blocks. With proof of stake, it is easy to build a block. Once you get the right to build a block, you can do it without any expensive computation.
So just to summarize what I've heard, and then also a few terms that I necessarily would like to hear a bit more about. So number one was, proof of stake means that the power that you have in regards to the consensus mechanism is proportional to your stake, whereas in proof of work, it's proportional to the amount of computation you can do. It's a number of terms that maybe we should clarify. One that I've heard was Sybil attack, so that'd be interesting to talk about. But even before that, maybe we should talk about consensus. What does consensus mean?
Consensus in the setting of distributed computing means that multiple parties, you have a set of nodes that participate in a mechanism, and you need like an algorithm to make sure that all these people or all these computers controlled by humans can cooperate with each other and that they can come to consensus or come to an agreement on certain things, like on the outcome of a computation or on transactions. The other question is problem of Sybil attacks. So this is called Sybil attacks because a Sybil attack means that you can create multiple identities of yourself. Sybil was a person in a novel who had like a multiple personality disorder.
So what I've heard is consensus basically means multiple parties need to come to a conclusion and agree on one outcome. And then Sybil attacks, the term originated from a book where the main character had multiple personalities, and the way this manifests in our context is that on my machine I can run the same software many times, and so I can, instead of just one person having one account, I can have many accounts or many miners that are running for me, even if there's only one person behind it, because we don't have a concept like passports that we have in a real life that are a one-to-one mapping between a person and some virtual object.
So as you already mentioned, having multiple identities means that you could easily get majority power, so more than 50% of all the IDs. And it not only means that you can control the present, it also means in the context of a blockchain, if you have more than 50% of the IDs from any past snapshot of the blockchain, you can create a new history or create a fork that rewrites the present. So it's not only that you can control what happens now, you can also rewrite the past.
One of the core qualities of blockchain-based systems is immutability, meaning that whenever something has been recorded, there's no way it's going to change anytime in the future, because all these blocks are static. If someone acquires too much power in the network or too much control over the network, they could effectively change history, and we would lose that quality of immutability in regards to blockchain systems.
So the problem is that you can do something called stake grinding. You can go back in past, and with your, let's say, 10% of keys that you have, you can influence some parameters in the blocks, because the randomness in naive systems like depend on the block hash. Then you can try to influence these parameters and to put together some history that makes your chain longer than the valid chain. So you can effectively build a fork that's longer than the current chain with less than 50% of the IDs that you acquired from past owners. In proof of work it's different, because in proof of work it's not easy to build a fork, because in order to build a fork in proof of work you have to redo all the computations, all the hard and expensive crypto puzzles to find the solutions to them in order to create a longer fork. So it's very expensive and not feasible.
I think now we touched on a very important topic, or difference between proof of work and proof of stake. Proof of work means that a lot of the computation power that the miners provide go into the system and are just wasted to solve these puzzles, whereas in proof of work the overhead of computation that's needed to build blocks is much, much smaller. Much larger percentage of the computation power goes towards actual transactions and distributed applications. What's the main challenge in coming up with a functioning proof of stake system?
In my view, is how can you create randomness that's unmanipulable, prevents you from manipulating all the factors that are taken into account in your random generator. More than 50%, or at least the majority of people, must come together and they must cooperate and create a randomness where no subset that's less than 50% can manipulate or even predict the outcome of the randomness.
I think the idea in all these distributed systems is that they can only be fair and work if it's randomly decided who has a certain job when it comes to the next block, validating it or creating it, signing it, whatever. And that's why creating randomness is such an important task.
Most of the existing asymmetric cryptography signature schemes have a threshold variant. That means that you can easily turn the regular signature scheme into a threshold signature scheme. For our purpose, needs to have a scheme that has two properties. One of them is this uniqueness. And the second property that we need is something called distributed key generation friendliness. Distributed key generation protocol, you need to create the keys for a threshold group, is a bit complicated. It involves multiple rounds. It is based on the idea that every member of the group can create a random function, and he can create this polynomial in a way that he overdefines it, so he adds redundancy to that polynomial. So that's a very simplified explanation of it.
I always love it when Robert says something is a little complicated, because it means I have no idea how it's going on for me. So we'll leave that for a future video, and we'll call that the advanced intro to distributed key generation.
So to summarize it in definitive, everyone has the possibility to make a stake deposit and to get an ID from the system, which is valid for a certain amount of time, and each ID costs a fixed amount of stake. So richer people who can afford to have more IDs than others. With these IDs you can participate in the consensus algorithm, which means that you can create blocks and you can also be part of the random number generators, so part of the threshold groups. And you are also part of the notary, which is a fancy scheme that allows you to validate blocks to make them get finalized faster. So this is the way how Definity uses proof of stake.
All right, so that was Robert's inputs on how proof of stake works and how it especially works at Definity. I found it super interesting. I always learn a lot as well every time we meet and talk about these concepts. And with that, we're now going to talk about something else related to Definity, which is the gas model. Maybe in another episode we'll talk about that. Soon we'll also reach our destination in Zurich and head back to the office to get some work done. And with that, I'll talk to you tomorrow.